Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love.
This is Dr. Lana Love. Welcome to our show. Today, we thought we'd handle the big, huge topic of the possibility of multiple selves. And we decided to talk about this because we've met so many people who have talked about higher powers, the inner feminine and masculine, multiple personality disorder.
Collectives, all sorts of collective souls, collective consciousness, past lives, future lives, parallel lives, alter egos.
So it's a really interesting topic, and to help us discuss this topic is alchemist Mystique, who his name real name is Hamid Bakay, and he's a life coach, an intuitive, and works with people to develop their personal power. And he knows a lot about the inner feminine and masculine.
certainly does. He's also an Aikido black belt and Reiki master. He's received a Bachelor of Science in degree in computer science at the University of Toronto. He's an avid writer. Hamid started his life coaching practice in 2010. He also does improv theater and designs websites, and he's just extremely knowledgeable. A fellow Miss and seer, and really glad to have you on our show today, Hamid. Welcome, Hamid.
Thank you very much for that. Thank you very much for that wonderful introduction. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, welcome to the show. Maybe you can just
Thank
give
you
us
very much.
a little more information about your experience and background.
Well, the reason I can help people is because I have been there. I have had all these things happen to myself. So because I have gone through all these experiences myself, experiences of my most profound life-changing, life-altering experience was when I did inner child therapy work for about 9 months in 2000, actually 2001. And since then, my life has never been the same because through that process of inner child therapy, I managed to get in touch with my different parts of myself and see that I have different parts and start learning about my different parts and what it is that they can do for me, and that how I have been basically either ignoring them, rejecting them, blaming them, shaming them, or, completely unaware of them. And so, when I started doing my life coaching, it became obvious that that's what I want to do. I want to really see and tell people, show people that the biggest misunderstanding we have on this planet, which has made everybody so unhappy, is the fact that they think that they are one person. Person thinks that they are one person, and everybody else thinks that they are one person. And not only that, we have kind of come to this understanding that single-mindedness is a good thing, and and the voices are bad, and you should never have voices. And the moment you have voices in your head, you're in deep trouble. And all of this stuff is extremely destructive.
That's something that's a little bit tricky for me to confront, given that I work in mental health. However, and because we're trained that the minute you hear voices, and I must stress these are negative voices, which might be point a person to suicide, that's actually not a very good thing. So maybe we should sort of talk about the fact that maybe some of these experiences, some of them are functional, some of them are dysfunctional, and maybe we should also define what the self
Yeah,
is, which is another topic in its own right.
that's what I was just about to say, Lana and Hamid. How do we define personality? I mean, what is a personality? And it's also a collective, because I believe I have a collective, and I believe that it's possible that all people have collectives, past lives, future lives, parallel lives on different timelines.
I don't. I don't feel I have. Maybe it's something to do with whether you feel that the different aspects of you are all aligned or not.
Yeah, aspects, or some people call them fractals. And well, what is personality anyhow? So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, for me, I mean, I don't really use a lot of words, but for me, I go with energy. And one of the most profoundly destructive things that we have in ourselves is having a certain persona or personality, which is our default way of being in the world. Mm-hmm. And we kind of become that. So this person is always assertive. This other person is always a pushover. This other person is always caretaking. That, and we end up having these default personalities, default, a part of ourselves becomes us. And that is the biggest problem we have. The problem is that we need to be the most enlightened, the most powerful, the most amazing, charismatic, creative people are the people who don't have a set persona. That persona, that the default quality that they have and the way they treat the world and they work and they talk and they think changes all the time, because there is no inner tyrant, inner Fox News that says this is the case. And this happens to me all the time with my clients, that I have people are extremely, extremely self-destructive and self-critical, and then they say all these bad things about themselves, and people allow themselves, let's say one person allows themselves to be always feel good that, okay, I'm a strong man and I can build things, but then this other, so everything else, like, no, I have no emotion, I have no use for my emotions, this and that. But when I finally get through to this person, and that part of that default persona kind of slows down and becomes a little more quiet, suddenly this person who suddenly didn't remember any kind of emotional anything, and they thought they're a failure emotionally, then like, oh, I remember the other day I cried. Oh, I remember this child movie. So it's like what happens is that this default persona takes over and makes us believe we are always the same way. And even there are miracles that different parts of us does, this default persona makes sure that we don't even remember that.
Yes, and I understand perfectly what you're saying. It's interesting because I can see Lana shaking her head as we talk about this, because Lana certainly as a doctor, a mental health doctor, believes that people generally should have, and this is true, I believe, we should have stable, consistent personalities just to function and function in society. It's really important. But I do believe, like you said, that we do have these different aspects of our personality, and these personalities will come out at different times in different situations. We might be angry and it might look like a totally different person, and we might have a completely different attitude or mood, and that may, in many cases, some of these negative personalities, and there's many types of different personalities, may look like, I don't know, they may look like, what is it? It used to be called multiple personality disorder.
It's now called dissociative identity disorder. But the idea there is that it's the same self, but very often because of early childhood trauma, usually sexual abuse, parts of the selves are splintered off in a desperate attempt to function. So, you know, you might have a child that was sexually abused at the age of, say, 7, and from there on, there's a very angry self that takes over whenever there's danger.
There's a bully personality, yeah. And then there's several others, yeah, that serve a specific purpose or function.
But one of the hallmarks about this is that the person does not realize that they have all these different personalities, and there's actually amnesia, there's a lack of memory. So you know, one person might lose time for a few days, and over that few days, another so-called personality would have taken over. But certainly in sort of psychology and psychiatry circles, it's considered that this is the same self but splintered off. And the aim is, of course, to give the person healing around the trauma and to integrate all the different personalities together. Mm. Now, I'm not sure, but we also on this show talk about different possibilities for this. And I think what you're saying, Hamid, is that in some aspects, you're saying that it's possible to have many different selves that, in fact, can allow you to function better. Is that what you're saying?
What is tricky is that you are talking about an extreme situation, which is a multiple personality disorder. I wouldn't say I would have any expertise to deal with that kind of thing. The fracturing of the persona in that situation is extremely traumatic, and I am not, you know, I do not know how to deal with that, and I would not say I can deal with that. What I actually call my way of looking at this, and I think some other people have said it, we call it multiple personality order. Not multiple personality disorder.
Like that. Multiple personality order.
Because the idea is that, you know, one of the examples that I like to use is that there was an episode of Seinfeld, and Jerry went and drank. He was going drinking, and it was 4 a.m., and he had to work tomorrow. He had to work at 9 a.m. tomorrow, but he was going to go drinking and partying, and people are like, what the hell are you doing? You have to go to work tomorrow. He's like, I'm not the guy who has to go to work tomorrow. I'm just going to go have fun. And this might sound funny, but this happens to us all the time. A part of us does something almost to the detriment of the other part of us, because there is no integration. There is no integrated, single, loving, family, united goal. The goal is actually the way, because we have been so traumatized and because we have all these parts of us that are basically incomplete parts of us, they all have competing goals. So a part of us wants to go party, a part of us wants to sleep, and then it happens that, okay, what kind of persona do I have? What is my default? And what's interesting, guys, this is extremely heartbreaking for me. What happens is that most of the time, the default persona wins. So let's say somebody is extremely studious and extremely hardworking. So they always go and work hard. They never party. They never play. Everything they're doing is just working hard, working hard, working hard. And then one day, that part of them is basically done. They are so overwhelmed and overdone and just burned out that another part of them takes over. And then suddenly this person who's just really calm and collected and goes to work, suddenly they go on a binge drinking, binge smoking, binge using drugs for like 3 weeks. And then they come back and they don't even know what happened. Because when we do not express, and one of the things I love to say is that evil is the opposite of live, L-I-V-E. Whatever we don't live becomes evil. And whatever we don't, whatever parts of our persona, whatever aspects of ourselves we don't experience, we don't express, we don't love, we don't play with, those aspects, when we fall a little bit asleep, or we are traumatized, or we are triggered, we are cornered, that part of us comes back with a vengeance, does something that we cannot even account for, that nobody knows us. Nobody knows why that happened, and then they would go back, and when we come back as our normal persona, we don't know what the hell happened.
Mm. I like that evil is the opposite of of live, L-I-V-E.
Yeah, it is. I guess in the real world, in the physical world, I guess we see good and evil. I don't necessarily believe in good and evil as a real thing in the world. It's more of a concept of the mind. I see that what I see is behaviors, but these things that look like good and evil are just, I believe, are more aspects of our personality to varying degrees. And what's getting lost in this a little bit, but this is such a broad topic, you know, because we have mediums and channelers on our show, and oftentimes I think that, I don't know what you would think about this, Lana, but I think that anyone that walked into a psychiatrist's office and said, I'm having thoughts from spirits, mental telepathy or something, mental transmissions from otherworldly sources, and you know, if they're coming in and disturbed by that, you're going to think that that might be some form of DID, dissociative.
Oh, more likely to be psychosis. I mean, I'm much more open than other people in the area of mental health. I guess, you know, for me, the thing to look at is whether there's dysfunction or function. Mm. I mean, that's very different to someone who has been in touch with their higher power and might be getting downloads perhaps from another spirit, another world, that are very useful to them.
Yeah.
But I guess it all comes down to perhaps whether this is part of your true self or not.
Mm.
And it also, it's interesting to look at the fact that, you know, in psychology, different parts of the self have been described by many, many people, authorities, you know, the child self, the adult self, the parent self, dividing the self into different parts. We all have different parts of ourselves, but what you're talking about, Hamid, is you know, amnesia, people actually not remembering what they're doing, and you know, the contentious issues whether that's actually part of themselves or not.
Mm. Isn't it all us, though? Everything that comes out of us is us. All our behaviors and all our thoughts, that's all us, that's all.
Well, there are many people that will actually say that they feel that there is another part of them that doesn't belong to them.
Well, unless there's a possession or something that's not part of our consciousness or our higher power or our collective.
Well, you know, possession states, while in psychology certainly, you know, it's viewed as being, you know, not existing. I think a lot of people in many cultures do believe in possession states, and I myself may have witnessed some in some people, and that throws someone like me off because you don't know what to say. But
well, it's very hard to know in any case. It's something that comes with experience and intuition, that you begin to identify things in people when they don't even know themselves.
And you, David, you talk a lot about having a higher self.
I do, a collective, which is comprised of, I'm a past life regressionist therapist and with a lot of experience in that, and I believe in reincarnation, as many people know. We've talked about this quite a bit in our show, and we've had David Quigley, a hypnotist who specializes this and who was my instructor on the show, talking about higher powers and past lives and even future lives on different timelines. And
so tell us a bit about your sense of having a collective as opposed to one person with many different selves.
So many years ago, when I started having my, what you call, psychic awakening or spiritual awakening, I encountered a spirit that I call Arthur, or he calls himself Arthur, either way. Arthur was a writer. I don't talk about it too much anymore, but you know, this particular spirit was sort of a lead spirit within what I found was a collective of spirits of past lives and souls or whatever. And this particular spirit was a writer in occult literature and would assist me quite a bit with my writings. And I started realizing I had a higher power, and it was part of this whole collective soul or collective consciousness, this group of spirits, almost like a corporation with employees, and it has a speaker. So the collective itself has a speaker, like Microsoft, and all of these souls sort of work together for a common purpose. And
okay, so let me ask you a question. What would make you say that all these selves are different selves, not you? But what is it that
they
defines?
Are me. They are part of my whole self, but they are individual personalities. So we're all one, but these would be different aspects of myself, which coming forward into this life, because there is no time and all things exist at one time. This is mysticism and metaphysics. So these spirits and souls do not see. They can see past and future and all things with that astral perception.
I guess that just blows my mind because that's not something I have experienced.
Okay, these are just my beliefs. I don't know.
That is very interesting. I must say, with dissociative identity disorder, the old multiple personality disorder, they actually found, while the theory is that it's the self that has splintered in times of trauma,
yes,
they found that the different self states that usually do not remember each other are not conscious, so actually we're talking about what appears to be different states of consciousness, actually have different brainwave patterns, different heart rates. Mm. Some can have allergies, some can't. So when you look at it in great depth, there's many authorities that will say that rather than the self being splintered off, you're actually talking about, well, I guess the question has the self been splintered off into different definite personalities, or are there fly-ins? Are there other spirits that have taken, have gone into that person and developed? Because there are actually different physiological characteristics of these dissociative selves. I actually had a patient that I was looking after for medication. I wasn't her therapist, but I never believed in multiple personality disorder because we were taught that this is something Americans made up. American psychiatrists made up. Hey. And we in Australia thought that it was a whole lot of baloney. But
shamans have been doing soul retrieval for many centuries, thousands of years.
I remember with this particular patient, a lovely lady who had incredible trauma, and I was just absolutely gobsmacked when all these different selves came out, including an 11-year-old boy. And he and I developed quite a good relationship, but she changed completely in front of my eyes from a 60-year-old woman to an 11-year-old boy. Completely different mannerisms and absolutely gobsmacking. And I guess I developed a great respect for the fact that this may indeed exist.
Mm. Now, in my case, and you've had experience with my other selves, my alter egos or whatever, and you're familiar with Arthur.
Oh, yes.
Many years ago.
Oh, yes.
Arthur's become integrated, and he's more of a guide for me now in the back seat, and he's very good. And I had some difficult times with him in the very beginning. It sounds very odd, but I admit. And we also know about Ishmael. And many of our friends, like Alexander Meters from Galactic Connection, and I think there were a few others who identified a druid, Patrick McCormick, who channels Kartron, identified a druid in me. And some of these personalities are not particularly, they've been traumatized in their lives, is what I believe. And
there seems to be a historical aspect to this. It seems to be that they are from the past, and they will remember things from the past,
yes,
which then raises the question that if you do have different personalities within you, they might not be from the same timeline.
True. It's very difficult to know even for me. And I believe that these lives come forward through this collective and through me to resolve certain issues. And they've often said, I don't need to heal them. They will heal them. They will be healed as a result of me just going through my life and healing myself. So that's a good thing. And this is what Hamid, I believe, is doing.
Well, Hamid,
it's
really amazing that you talk about multiple personality order. I mean, that's amazing. What you're saying is that that might actually be quite functional to have all these different personalities.
Well, it's actually the way I live my life. So that's the only way I can be. I can only work with multiple personality order. And I want to address what David said about channeling and that there's. So I have a very simple mind. I don't really work with names and things like that and names of entities, and it doesn't really concern me so much.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very simple idea that I consider myself kind of like more of a shamanic path. But I feel that I have a lot of qualities that could probably very simply be called a schizophrenic. So why am I more of a shaman, and why are they more of a schizophrenic? And the simple solution, the simple, very simple answer is vibration. The higher vibration one has, the higher spirit choose one to be channeling through. The lower vibration one has, the lower vibration choose us. So when somebody is full of fear and hatred, and they have violence and greed and jealousy and all kinds of things, they are going to be channeling energies for sure, but they are going to be channeling extremely low vibration. They are going to be channeling one of some of the dark forces out there, which is what happens right now in the political theater, that you have a lot of people who are not actors of their own, they're not agents of their life, but they're actually, somebody else is pulling this thing. And in terms of, so for me, this is such a complex situation, because first, one needs to get his house in order or her house in order, where one brings all those dissociative, angry voices inside to one person, to one integrated self, to one boardroom, that all of these, what I call them, the dozens of burly men screaming inside us, they all are listened to. They are all empathized, and we love them until we start hearing the song of spirit, which I see her as a little tiny 10-year-old girl who's singing very sweetly. But as long as those men are screaming, which are those men, in my view, are the ones that have been caused in our own childhood in this reality, not some other past life. And then when we finally reach that point, when we finally have all these men sit at the table and courteously and politely speak, then we can listen to the sound of a spirit and the song of a spirit. Then one can channel those higher beings. And when I channel higher beings, which I usually do, like a lot of times when I don't have the answer to a question, I just channel, I know it's not me, because I can't even know what, I don't even know what I'm saying, and I don't know when I'm going to stop. It's very clear that is not me. But that is also not my voice, that it's not the voice of my insecurity. But what is the difference for me is really has to do with how much work have we done on ourselves, how much, why our vibration is. The more we are into love, service, creativity, play, enjoyment, unity, harmony, beauty, all these things, the more we are in that, the more that is our reality, the more the spirits that we will channel, the spirits that use us as they are our muse, you know, from a creative art world to having a conversation, the more that happens, the more those spirits choose us. And the more we don't do our inner work and we have all kinds of dark stuff inside us, the more we become the agent. That's why the movie Matrix is such an important movie to watch, because anybody who's not awakening and is not a red pill, they are very easily, there are portals of darkness, and all the fourth-dimensional energies that run this planet and the whole universe, if you have a high enough vibration, like a red pill in Matrix, they can never penetrate you and use you. But the moment our vibration is low, anybody out there can be easily tapped into and become a pawn where they can pull their
Okay, that's excellent. And I just wanted to go back to very quickly before we go to break is where you mentioned, I do believe everything can be reduced to energy when we're talking about this because of metaphysics and the fact in universal law, the mental verse and the nature of the universe. And I also, I was thinking of the higher mind because I channel what I like to call the higher mind or the higher self, and it's differentiated between the lower self somewhat and the lower self. When I'm channeling the higher self, Lana, you know about the higher self, mm-hmm. the higher mind. And the higher mind is the one where I get my inspired writings from, and it's almost stream of consciousness, and it sounds wise, like a wise person at different times when it comes out. And then there's that lower mind, which are those angrier aspects that cause controversies a bit and arguments, etc. And I think those are the aspects that are working to raise their vibration or their energy to become more like the wiser self or the higher mind in this lifetime. So, but of course, this is all very difficult. I mean, we are multidimensional beings, and it's very difficult to sort of come to any conclusions on this topic. But it's all very interesting.
I think the important thing that we've talked about that, and you've stressed, Hamid, is that love and acceptance of all the different parts of you, all the different personalities, is what's very important. I think let's take a music break because I think that maybe an important topic that many of our listeners would be interested in is when does one try to love and accept the seemingly negative aspects of you, and when do we actually kick them out because they're actually intruders?
Yes.
So, and channeling is another thing that's interesting. You know, when is it okay to channel? When is it not okay to channel? And it all comes down to what is the self. So let's take a music break and then attack this really, really interesting topic of, you know, when to accept, when not to accept. Alrighty,
or is that what it's all about? Is it about accepting or not accepting? I don't know. Hamid might have a lot to say about
this. I need
a
music break. I'm confused. Ready, please, Mr. Music. Welcome back from the break.
Welcome back to Universal Soul Love. We're with Alchemist Mystique, our special guest, Hamid Haka.
And we're tackling the really confusing, overwhelming, but fascinating topic of multiple selves.
The multidimensional personality or the multidimensional self.
So, Hamid, I love the fact that you talked about love as the factor that's important in integration. But what happens if there's a flying spirit? What happens if there's something inside you that destroys the other aspects of you? When do you love and integrate that aspect or that other personality? And when do you actually kick them out?
Or is love all things and love is the answer? Love, love, love. Can I just jump in here and just say something about this? The mind, I believe that everything is experienced in the mind. So, the mind can manufacture, we believe that thoughts are things, and the mind can manufacture personalities, or the higher self can manufacture personalities, depending on what you call the self or the mind, the greater self. So I believe that these personalities, even if they're invented by the mind or the higher self, they can have a life of their own, and they can have their own existence separate from us, and there can be beings separate from the higher self or from our collective that can enter the body as well as a possession state. So the way I did it when I started meditating, I became aware of my thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and I spent many years meditating, and I began to separate what's mine and what's other people's or other beings' mental thoughts, transmissions, so that I could become my true self or authentic self, so that I know myself, so that I became in touch with my feelings, and I could become a more solid personality in this life.
Wow, now that's so important, the authentic self. There's something so beautiful, so indescribably writes about having the insight as to which of those aspects is your authentic self. Mm-hmm. Hamid, is that also the process that you've gone through in deciding which parts to...
I have to say something about this, which is really crazy. There's several things going on. I need to speak to different things about this. One of them is that a friend of mine that I worked on her, and she's an amazing woman, and she has amazing powers. And there was a part of her that was an incredibly nasty part of her. And why I actually started working with that part, and I actually started working and talking to that part of her. And that part of her that was nasty, after we loved that part and accepted that part of her became actually a channeler that was channeling extremely powerful things. So in one level, I have been extremely successful and worked with people to work with all their nasty aspects, to make them all part of their team, part of their wholeness. Having said that, this friend of mine, there was something else. There was another part of her that I discovered. And this is the part that I want to speak to, and which is extremely almost controversial. I discovered a part of her because every part that I usually discover in people, and I help them discover in themselves, no matter how misguided they are always working for the greater good of the person. No matter how badly they do their job, they're always doing that. This has been my universal experience. But then I discovered this part inside her, that all this part wanted to do was destroy my friend. It had no intention, no other intention other than destroying. So I had a conversation with this part. And I said, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why are you so nasty to her and make her feel hate herself? What is the deal? What is that you're after? And this part had nothing, had no answer to say. His only answer was, I want more stuff. And I'm like, okay, why do you want more stuff? It doesn't matter why I want more stuff. I want more stuff. And I'm like, okay, do you know that your parents abused you? They hit you. They kicked you. They punched you. You have been generationally abused. And this part says, yes, I know that. And I'm like, so what do you think about that? This part said, I don't care. And I'm like, why? This part said, because that taught me how to have more stuff. And Lana, I can say that this, the unfortunate reality, guys, is that this was like a disease, like a virus that I found in the consciousness of my very, very enlightened friend. And I can tell you this disease is actually affecting a big, huge portion of this population. And it's almost like it was inserted into us. I don't have a clue how it happened. And I believe most people who run this planet have this, where they only want stuff. And when you say why you want stuff, they don't even have a reason. They don't have an answer. So that's the very bleak part of this situation that I have handled and I have seen. And that part, I can only tell you, Lana, and I can tell you, David, that all I want with that part, I want to destroy it. I want to get rid of it. There is nothing you can do with that part. But the other part, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how destructive they are. It doesn't matter how misguided they are. It doesn't matter how they channel their violence or their anger or their jealousy or whatever it is they do. I've always been able to help my clients and in myself love that part, accept that part, understand that part, acknowledge that part, appreciate that part, and that part has come and become part of the united self. So I would say I would say 99.99% of the time, I will not ever talk about disintegrating any part of the self, rather integrating and bringing everybody back, except then that one example, which unfortunately, I believe a lot of people have that virus. 99.99% of parts that I work with inside cells, they're always serving the cell. They may be doing it in a wrong way. They may be doing it in a misguided way, in a destructive way, but they're always well-intentioned. When I discovered this part of my friend, and I said, why do you do of everything that you do? Its only answer was, I want more stuff. And I'm like, okay, why do you want more stuff? Is there an emotional thing about that? This part had no answer. It just said, I want more stuff. And I'm like, you're destroying my friend, you're destroying everything, and your answer is only, I want more stuff. And his answer was always, I want more stuff. And I'm like, okay, do you know that your father abused you? You know that you've been beaten up, you've been punished, that everything has happened to you. Do you know that? And this part said, I know that. And I said, what do you think about it? He said, I don't care, because that taught me how to have more stuff. So this is a very strange part, and what I can say, unfortunately, that I feel that a large population of people have this almost like a virus in their consciousness. And I believe a big population, if not the whole population of the people who control this planet, have this virus, which is really, it has no function except destruction, without any purpose whatsoever. But outside that, 99.99% of the cases of everybody that I have worked with, they always, every part of them, no matter how destructive, how jealous, how angry, how hateful, all these parts, they're always working for the greater good of the person. They just don't know how to do it. And when you love them, appreciate them, acknowledge them, respect them, they become integrated, and they become fierce, loyal allies. But that one part, which is really not part of the person, it's a foreign thing of a consciousness that probably is inserted through incredible trauma. That part needs to be killed. And that part is probably present in so many people in this toxic planet, and in so many people who control the world.
Yes, okay. I didn't realize that we were still on the air when we had our little technical difficulties.
That's really interesting.
It is, because I know this goes into a much bigger topic about the Matrix and about us being a slave species and some of these intruders that come in, reptilians, etc., that are influencing our behavior and our thoughts.
Interesting. I mean, the important thing is to actually get down to whether that those other aspects are ultimately wanting to serve the self.
Yeah, are they beneficial?
You kick them out. And how do you get rid of them, Hamid? How do you do that?
I do not know about getting rid of anybody. So this part, I couldn't figure him out. I lost that relationship because of that part. But I can tell you any other part. And the best example I can give, this is something that I always use because I love this example. I had a client that he went on a date with a beautiful woman. And the whole time he was on a date with this woman, the whole time he was having a horrible time. This part of him said, she hates you, she's not good for you, you're not good looking, she's not good looking. It was a horrible, horrible date because of everything this part kept saying, kept interrupting, kept bringing these thoughts that were completely destructive to the date. So my client came to me and said, you know, Hamid, I had this, And I'm like, how do you feel about that part? And he said, I hate him. I'm like, I understand. What do you want happen to him? He said, I want him to leave. I want to be gone. And I said, so what if I told you that part loves you and cares about you? And he said, no, I don't believe that. I'm like, okay. Tell me, when you were 6, 7, 8, 9, something like that, did you have maybe a less than pleasant experience with a girl? And he's like, well, one time I went and asked a girl out, and she said no to me. And when she said no to me, I went to the bathroom and threw up for a couple of hours, and I was sick for 2 weeks. And I'm like, this part, this protector part of you came out at that point because it wanted to make sure this will never happen to you again. Because he doesn't want you to ever suffer that profusely. And so the next time you're having a date, and so in our session what we did is that we brought that part, and this is not verbal, this is really about emotion, and it's about really finding, like I would use words like something like, and it's not only the words, it's also the modulation of your tone, like I am so profoundly grateful to what you have done for me. I would not be here if it wasn't for your magnificent guardianship. I would not be alive if you hadn't taken care of me. It must have been so hard for you to have done so much for me and for me to be so mean and nasty to you. I am so sorry. I love you so much. I will do anything in the future to make sure I respect you. And I treat you with the honor that you really deserve. And you speak to this, and you actually I have my clients feel that, and you know, there's mirror work involved, and they look at the mirror and they speak to themselves, and they have their emotions, and they cry and they weep. And the next day, they go on a date. When this happens, then this part comes out, and when this part comes out and starts wanting to be nasty, the response is, I love you so much. I know you're trying to protect me. I know that you mean nothing but goodness. I so appreciate everything you do. I appreciate everything you have done for me till now. But from now on, please let me handle this. And anytime, if you have thoughts, please bring them to me. But right now, let me handle it. And this is what I have done with my own part. And this is how I have made peace and loved them and turned them, as a friend of mine said, from protectors into guardians. Right? It's because this thing about this profound love that when they feel that profound love and acknowledgement, I use the term appreciate, understand. I use the term acknowledge, understand, appreciate, embrace, and celebrate. Those parts.
It's incredibly beautiful.
Yes, and I just want to say that I handled it. I think that forgiveness is incredibly important, and I used that early on, and the word forgiveness and the expression of forgiveness has an energy all its own that heals across many timelines and many lives, and I was successfully used that to heal those lives, even parallel lives. But I also found that when I was working with a personality that came forward, that writer that I mentioned, author, quite a while ago, I used assertiveness in that case. And I said, no, you may not be the driver here. I'm happy for you to be a guide, but I was very firm on this. And I said, you need to integrate and you need to let me lead this life because this is my life and I need to be in control and I need to be very clear on this.
You still showed appreciation though,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes, sure. I'm very, very thankful for you helping me with these books, but you can't take over like this.
And that's, I guess, Hamid, that's what you're saying. You're saying that you had this man appreciate this seemingly destructive part of the self, but quite firmly say, from now I'm taking over. So that's very beautiful.
I'm actually thank you so much. I'm actually gonna share an experience of myself.
Hamid, we unfortunately we have to. We haven't got any more time left. Maybe we could have on the show again because we have to.
Sure.
Yeah, we've only got
15 seconds.
Yeah.
So.
What a shame. Maybe we'll.
I had no idea how long the show is. So.
Yeah, look, we'd like
so
to
this was
maybe.
Great, guys. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll now do another show on, to continue this wonderful topic. Interesting topic.
And you can find Hamid's profile on our BBS Radio webpage so that you can locate him. Thank you so much, and we will see you next time on Universal Soul Love.
Goodbye to everyone and all their selves. Bye now.